flow. Damn, welcome back to Techonomics. I'm the host, Jason Middleton. For this segment, we dwell on the onomics part of Techonomics, as in a massive data dump on Friday that covers the most crucial part of America's economy, the consumer. The American economy is roughly $16 trillion annually, and two-thirds of that volume is generated by us going out and buying stuff. So, we had a retail sales report that did not wow us, but we had earnings from retailers that beat Wall Street expectations. And we had the producer price index. That's a measure of how much it costs to make stuff before it gets retailed. So, how does all this play out when it comes to the stop-and-go recovery from the Great Recession? Well, we asked a VP over at Morgan Stanley to help us unpack it all.
Bruce Stewart, Vice President, Financial Advisor, Certified Financial Planner. Morgan Stanley Wealth Management.
Outstanding. We did get some data on Friday, and the one I want to look at first is retail sales. It looked flat coming out of July. Now, that's kind of a big deal, right? Because isn't consumer spending about two-thirds of our American economy?
Correct. And the consumer has been definitely holding up the economy for the United States. We did have a rise of only about 0.5%. And that indicates that Americans are actually cutting back on purchases of clothing and other goods that could potentially temper their expectations of an acceleration in economic growth in the third quarter.
Okay. And one thing I did see on that, on the retail tip, is the earnings from retailers are coming in pretty strong. Now, I wonder why the dichotomy is there.
The retail numbers had strong numbers for auto manufacturers and for online retailers, or what are called non-core retailers. But the purchase of clothing and other goods, or traditional retailers, brick and mortar, were not as strong.
So earlier this week, we had a productivity report that came in, a PPI, I think you said, and it looked a little flat, a pumping of the brakes, if you will, for the labor market. Hiring managers may be less incentivized to add more payroll. Did you read anything into that report, or am I overreading it?
I don't think that there was anything in terms of that that would indicate that there was a decline in terms of hiring patterns. I think that it just is that there's a decline in the cost for the services and energy products. But I don't think that the producer price index is actually really changing that particular area.
Now, is that report a lagging indicator, or is it a leading indicator, or is it just like a of the moment kind of thing?
It's definitely of the moment, and it is also does indicate potentially what's going to be happening with the consumer price index. So it does give you a little bit of a forward for the consumer price index. It does play into that.
Okay.
Or the CPI.
What else do we have? What else did you want to talk about this morning?
And I wanted to talk about the consumer sentiment numbers, which
cool.
I think that the theme really was great expectations.
Okay.
That we had great expectations for the economic data that came out. We also are coming off of a trifecta of all-time highs on all three indexes.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
yeah.
At the same time. And I think in figuring that out, that this great expectation, we didn't have terrible numbers by any stretch, but they didn't meet these expectations. That's really what's going on here.
Right. Well, let's put a bow on this, because we have a little bit of a bundle here, right? We have retail sales that came in flat for July. We have retail earnings coming in that are better than expected. And then we have consumer sentiment. So when you package all this together, from where you sit and from what you do, how does that play into what your thinking is moving forward for you and your clients?
I think that it's a great question, first of all. And I think what it is it's showing that we're in a slower growth economy. And that's why in this economy, and as far as what we're doing, we have to be aware of that the markets are not just in a vacuum, that the markets are taken in the context of the fact that we are in a low interest rate economy. And in a low interest rate economy, we have to see in terms of what the valuations are. The valuations are more dependent upon the interest rate, the prevailing interest rate, and the ability for investors to be able to get other investments to get themselves growth as well as income. And that is the main issue that they have, especially in such a low interest rate economy.
You mentioned the three indices. All three closed at record highs on Thursday. Friday was pretty much a flat trading day of people just positioning for the weekend, I think.
Correct.
Would you go so far as to say maybe that we're overbought, or the market's too rich right now?
Which is a great question. I think that as far as this being a bubble, I think that if this was, again, in a vacuum, it may look like it is a bubble. However, if taken in the context of it being such a low interest rate environment, I do not feel it is a bubble.
Okay, well, that's good advice right there. Bruce, thanks a lot for your time this morning. Really do appreciate it.
Sure, absolutely.
That was Bruce Stewart, a financial advisor and vice president for Morgan Stanley's Wealth Management Division. Last week was a week of doldrums when it comes to trading volume on Wall Street. We're in the summer dog days, and even major economic reports are not enough to move the market. Things will pick up in a couple of weeks, though, as investors try to gauge just when the Federal Reserve will raise its core interest rates. Okay, now let's turn to dirty laundry and truancy. The good people at Whirlpool created the Whirlpool Care Counts program and donated 17 pairs of washers and dryers to school districts in St. Louis and Fairfield, California. The schools then invited kids with attendance problems to bring in their laundry to be cleaned while they were in class. The results were astounding. More than 90% of participating students increased their attendance that year. At-risk students attended almost two more weeks of school, and each student got approximately 50 loads of laundry done at school. This year, Whirlpool will expand the program to 20 more schools in five more districts.
When I wake up in the morning and I find out I have no clean clothes, I usually end up just staying home. When I was homeless, we had no clean clothes because we only had a little bit of money and we used that money for food.
I think people don't talk about not having clean clothes because, I don't know, it makes you want to like cry or go home or run away or something. It doesn't feel good.
Keep in mind, every day, 4,000 students drop out of school in America. Now, here's some personal front page as to why this Whirlpool project is so positive and amazing. When I was a teenager, I lived with a single mother and my younger brother. My mother was bedridden for most of my high school years because of health issues. And we were pretty poor, like getting food from the church kind of poor. And it was hard to maintain school, studies, younger brother, and keep up the house, God forbid, get a date. I often had dirty clothes. It was embarrassing and hurtful. So I can empathize with these kids. And I'd like to applaud Whirlpool for putting together this Whirlpool Care Counts program.
Since the program has been in the school, my attendance is consistent. The goal is 90. We have over 90% all the time.
I can just look at specific kids and know that because they're in the program, they've been at school every day this year.
Before the program, I think I would have said, you're crazy. A washer and dryer, that seems way too simple. But I think now looking at it, I think we know that it's made a positive impact.
Well, I definitely think the program has long-lasting impact because if it gets kids to come to school, then they can work to get an education and, you know, get out of poverty and help their families get out of poverty.
We originally started this hoping to impact attendance rates. What we didn't realize was the impact that it would have on so much more.
I've said here and in other places that corporate social responsibility should be part of every company's quarterly report. I hope Whirlpool includes this program and its impact on its next earnings call and that other companies start following suit. Okay, that'll do it for this week's Techonomics. Thanks for sticking around. If you want us to address a story or go deeper on something we've already covered, we could well do that. Let us know on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Techonomics. Maybe toss us a like or a share while you're there. And follow me on Twitter at KGOJason. For producer Leanna Wilcox, I'm Jason Middleton, and this has been Techonomics. Thanks for listening and have great weeks. Damn,